Hi, I'm Ray Poynter, and this is Talking AI. And today I am delighted to be talking to Steve Phillips, Founder, Chair, and Chief Innovation Officer at Zappi. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Ray. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Our pleasure, absolutely. So perhaps you just do a little bit of an introduction to yourself, and just in case anybody doesn't know, an introduction to Zappi.
Sure. So I've been in consumer insight my entire career. Started out in London in the early 90s. I worked in Hong Kong for about 6 years in Asia in total, then moved to New York. And done a whole range of different things from qualitative to quantitative. Moved back to the UK probably 20 years ago and started my first company, which became almost sort of quasi-ethnographic, very much qualitative. So my background is mixed, but probably more qual and quant. And then I started Zappi about 12 years ago, largely as sort of as a qual researcher, thinking, hey, quant's really easy. You can just automate that stuff, right? So that was the sort of founding idea of Zappi, and it really was the idea was to you know what clients like clients have always really valued consumer insight. Consumer insight is just great. It helps people make smarter decisions, right? People love it. But what did they complain about? They always used to complain, oh, I love consumer insight. That takes too long, costs too much money. And the solution to that was just automation. It was obviously automation. And so I tried to set up Zappi, not knowing anything about technology at all, but as a way of just automating so that, and I didn't expect it to be, I expected it to be, fast and cheap, not necessarily great quality at the beginning. And it was the idea that my first line was, we'll get you 80% of the way there, but in 5% of the time and for 5% of the cost. So that was the sort of trade-off. And then, so we've always been really primarily a testing company. So we help companies at scale test their ideas, their communications, their products, their brands before they go to market. So it's pre-launch. But what we've realized over time is A, you can automate great methodologies, but B, you can start creating a significant data asset which can be used for other things. So we've moved, I think, from faster and cheaper to faster and cheaper and better because of the power of the data. And I think we'll get on to talk about how AI can even increase the value of that data over time.
Absolutely. So just think about those early days. What were the sort of the challenges, the pushbacks that you got bringing automation into our wonderful world of research?
Well, so absolutely it was seen as being quick and dirty. And let's be fair, there is a place for quick and dirty, right? I mean, particularly in a world where people were starting to talk about being agile. They'd always been annoyed about the time. And I think certainly in the beginning, you know what it's like if you were doing a classic market research project on an advertising campaign 10 years ago, right? You would be effectively saying to the ad agency and the client, look, you're developing your ad, you've got to almost a finished film, you want to do some research because you really want feedback from your customers. What I'd like you to do is down tools, stop work for 5 weeks while I go and do the test for you, and then come back and don't make any iterations or improvements during the time I'm doing the research, because then I will not have tested the thing that you're at. So I mean, fortunately, timelines were longer then anyway, so it didn't matter as much, but it was still inconvenient. And frankly, as a qual researcher, we used to get loads of ad testing, and I never liked ad testing in groups. I never liked it as a method, but we used to get it all the time just because it was quicker. You know,
Yes.
that was the only reason they were using groups. It wasn't a good methodology. But so I think that was the embracing factor. And people would say, oh, we'll use Zappi for just a quick snapshot, just a quick. So there was a lot of intrigue and interest in can I use it and it's quick and it makes a lot of sense in that situation. But it took a much longer for people to realize that actually they weren't necessarily sacrificing quality. We could have very strong methodologies. We could do a lot of sophisticated analytics. We could make the reports. We'll talk about that, utilizing AI. We could make the reports good. And over time, you create this data asset, and there's other interesting things you can do with that data asset. So I think that's probably the strengths and weaknesses as we went through.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there is another area where there are some lessons that people today can gather. And you had some really good partnerships early on with clients. Unilever were quite visible. I remember a great presentation you did with Coca-Cola. So how important is it to have those early clients who will come in or take some risk and show you what can be done?
Enormously, and I should say also, partnerships. We had an early investment from WPP, and that ended maybe less than amicably. But to be fair to them, they were a great partner for a period of time. And I'm always interested in 2 + 2 = 5. I always think you can never solve everything, so you need partnerships. And it right at the beginning, we were looking for clients. I always call them pirates, right? And they're not pirate clients. They tend to be pirates inside a client, who will experiment, who will test ideas with you, and who are prepared to see failure happen. And that's still true. I mean, I'm still piloting with clients right now on new extensions of what AI can and cannot do, and the agentic stuff that, I mean, I know you're close to. We're doing stuff with agentic, we're doing stuff with synthetic, and on all of those things, we're finding pirates in clients who want to pile in and experiment and test ideas and input to them. So that's always been part of our DNA, I would say.
So you've said about 12 years ago there was automation, there was earlier iterations of AI, and in the last 2.5 years we had some brand new AI coming on the scene, generative AI. How has that impacted, accelerated, changed what you're doing?
When I created Zappi, had to find a software company to work with, and I found a company called Intellection, and we ended up merging. And they were an AI company, or at least utilized early stage AI, then sort of if that, then this type modeling to write reports. So our early written reports were written, and we talked about scaling human expertise. We talked about taking the expertise of a research guru such as yourself, Ray, and trying to put that into software. That was the purpose of what we were trying to do. But frankly, the systems were very clunky, and the writing was very clunky. So I used to say it sounded a bit like a researcher with a year and a half's experience, right? I mean, that's really what it sounded like. And then in terms of the analytics, we were always, I mean, we always had a data science team. We were always using machine learning. So that was elements of AI. But the truth is, LLMs have significantly improved them. I mean, we were looking at GPT-2 and couldn't find a use for it probably a year before ChatGPT, which was on 3.0, came out. And it was blindsiding for us. I mean, we were just amazed by it, and very excited by. I mean, there's lots of problems around hallucination, but if you prompt it in the right way and you integrate it with your data system, then actually you can get incredibly strong answers out of it. So we now use LLMs for our report writing, and they write great report, just great reports. That's the truth. It's gone from 18 months experience to 18 years experience, and sometimes more. And because of their ability to look across such large amounts of data in real time, you can reconfigure it on the fly, which is just amazing. So we've always been AI first, and then we're just trying to stretch the boundaries of how you can use it and where you can use it across the entire tech stack, to be honest.
That's really good and encouraging to hear. Are you able to tell us anything about this? It hit the sort of the media, the partnership with PepsiCo and the rebranding of Zappi, or the reconfiguration of one service to be ADA. And what might that imply for the future of research?
So this was a partnership. It's been about 5 years now, and what it came about really when they hired a new head of insight, a guy called Stefan, who we wrote the book with, and he came in really with more of a marketing and entrepreneurial background, And he went into the Pepsi organization and met all his new people working for him in the inside department, and was very excited and finding out what they did, and said, you know, so and where's the database? Where's all of the insight held? And they were like, I'm sorry. Well, you must have like a database with all the consumer insight, like if you know all your sales would be on your CRM or whatever it might be, all your customer information. And they said, no, we haven't got one of those systems. And he said, well, surely we should have one of those systems. So they went out to try and create one of those systems, which is now called Ada. So Ada isn't our name. Ada's internal Pepsi system. And they went through a big RFP process of talking to a lot of different vendors. And the truth was, we had exactly the same vision that he had. So our vision for Zappi was exactly the same vision for his, which is rapid testing, rapid iteration of insights, but a large moving towards a large data asset, and then looking at meta analytics, looking at predictive modeling, utilizing that and utilizing and democratizing access to that large data asset. And so we've ended up working with them on that over the last 5, 7 years. It's not theirs. So Ada is theirs, but Ada encompasses more than Zappi. So there are other companies, Black Swan, are on a lot on that. They have a knowledge management system aligned to it as well. So Zappi is the backbone of the data, and the modeling, and a lot of the reporting, but it's not the only component. But the great thing of working with them, what was really about that aligned vision, was they were prepared to put money and ideas and effort and time above all into creating that vision that they had, and freeing us up to say, yes, we will help you go along there, but we don't create Pepsi code, we create code, and we can utilize it for others as well. And during that process, actually, we've ended up working with a whole host of other companies that Pepsi and us have brought in, other clients that we call the Insight Alliance, which is five or six of the world's biggest companies, trying to work together to create new methodologies, new ideas, new approaches, new systems that would make insight far more powerful within their organization. So working with Pepsi, but with other companies as well, to try and create something new.
So one of the criticisms one might imagine coming from the old school researchers is, or this democratizing is taking research away from researchers. But I would argue, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, Steve, that this is keeping insights as a powerful force. It might be done inside the company instead of outside the company, but it's kept it with people who value insight, as opposed to simply being a service for people who know very little about it.
Yeah, I think so. The way we tend to work is that the insight teams structure the tests. So what we want is something systematized and scalable. So if you've developed an approach to ad testing, and then everyone around the world can decide when to test and what to test, but not how to test. So Pepsi Romania can test an ad whenever they want to test an ad, because it's their stimulus and they need the results and they need the feedback, etc. But all of that data goes into a macro data asset, and they're not changing things on the fly, right? So they're not changing the questions or the modeling or the audience. You know, they're sticking to things to make that data asset richer and richer and richer as you go. So I don't think it. So it dem it democratizes access to be able to create insight, but with the insight teams managing the structure. So they go from being project managers, managing the project itself, which is frankly a dull part of the process, right? To saying, okay, we've automated the process, the project, but what we're doing is thinking about data, thinking about the data assets, thinking about the design, thinking about the architecture, thinking about the power of the data on the back end. And those are much more, for me, those are much more interesting conversations to be involved in.
Absolutely. So just to sort of wrap it up with a couple of thoughts, what do you think is going to happen over the next 18 months to 2 years to the market research industry with all these changes? Because you are talking to these people like the Black Swans, you're talking to this alliance of companies. You're going to be seeing a lot of things that are coming down the wire. You're using agents and all of these sorts of things in your own tools. Where are we headed in 18 months to 24 months? Is that the short term? I think it's not.
I think that's almost long term now, right? Let's
Yeah,
put it that way.
absolutely.
Yeah, someone asked me a prediction for 5 years, and I went, I have no
No.
idea. That's just way too far. So, and I'm probably an eternal optimist, but I do think I would hold out a couple of examples. It's Tony Costello at Heineken. It's people at Reckitt, Elaine Rodrigo at Reckitt, and a couple of other our clients who aren't. They're not just managing insight, they're helping their companies integrate AI into their business processes. And there's a reason they can do that. It's because insight people tend to be very good with data and very good with integrating data and very good with thinking about multiple data sources and how you align those data sources and very good at thinking about the macro insight and value that you can create out of that data. So I would say, as a broad brush, insight is in an incredibly powerful position. If we're prepared to stand up and lead. And those, Elaine and Tony, are people who are prepared to stand up and lead. And if we've got more of those people, then I think we're in a very strong position to lead our organizations in terms of the move towards an AI first type of environment. Then I think if you think about the specific applications of AI, synthetic and agents, I think will be transformational. So synthetic will mean that we go from at the moment we get involved in consumer insights is always involved in strategic decisions, but almost never in terms of tactical decisions. So we test everyone's TV ad before it comes out, but no one's digital because they're creating 100 pieces of digital. So they're not testing us. Synthetic MoSAP possible. It means that we can test every piece of retail media. It means that we can test every feature that you might want to add to a product. It means that every piece of brand communications, even if it's just something that's appearing on a website, we can embed consumer insight in that. So I think we can, synthetic means that we can be available in a lot more places in a lot more instantaneously, which I think is really exciting. And then agents mean that we can move from insight into action. So we can actually not only test that piece of copy on the brand website, we can improve it. We can get an agent to say, okay, thanks for the insight, synthetic. Now I'm going to rewrite it for you. So we can create concepts, we can create ad campaigns, we can create. So if you utilize insight really well, you can lead your companies in terms of AI, but also get involved in pretty much every decision and help create action on the back of it. I think that's really exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I like that both Tony and Elaine have been saying is this end-to-end involvement, because historically we would do a bit of research to set the ground, then people would go away for months, do stuff, and come back. Can you test where we are now? And we would have several different joining points. But what I'm seeing Reckitt's trying to do, Heineken trying to do, is be involved all the way through, that there isn't any stage when insights is not there.
Exactly. And yeah, sorry, I'd go on, but the Amazon Bezos's investor letters used to talk about this, and this is my favorite story around Bezos's letters. And apparently, in every meeting room in Amazon, there's an empty chair, and you must know this story. And the empty chair is so that the rest of the people in the meeting room are supposed to look at that chair and think about the customer. Think about the customer now. Where it might be, where am I going to put a factory? Where am I going to put a distribution center? What am I going to do with my pricing? What am I going to do with my offers and features? I should at least have a thought of the customer while I'm making that decision. And now we can be the chair. If we do our job right, we can be in that meeting room digitally. We don't have a person in the room all the time, but digitally we can be in that room and we can make sure the customer's voice is heard.
Absolutely. And final thing, what advice would you give to somebody under 30? They've joined our industry. What should they be focusing on doing, aspiring to do?
I think at the moment the critical thing is to just pile into AI and play. I mean, I think you've said this before. You just need to experiment with different, but adding different data to different systems, to trying different LLMs. We're trying to remap our entire go-to-market process and then rethink what role could AI play at each of these stages. And so you just want to try and reimagine the world from an AI-first perspective. And the only way to do that is to understand AI by playing with it and using it and enjoying having fun. So I would say play and experiment are the critical things.
Fantastic. Steve, I think people are going to find that really useful, a little provocative, which is always good. Thank you so much for your time.
Much appreciated, Ray. Thanks.